right? But it's really only like it's 2 months. It's not that long, right? But I know for kids, it just seems like this is going to last forever. I just have freedom now, and I can just no end of it. But the funny thing is, second week or first week of August, and they're like chomping at the bit. When does school start again? That's just the way it is. I was thinking about summertime though, and summer vacation. And it was neat, Brad, because you talked about this in your prophetic word as well, too, that summertime is sometimes a time where we relax. I know I'm thinking about going to the lake. We're actually going right after the service here. We're actually headed to Child's Lake for a few days just to get in some camping and some fishing. And I was telling the worship team, I often don't appear to be very excited in life, but I know I'm excited when I can't get to sleep. And so I was up to 3 a.m. thinking about camping and all these lists. And so that's how I know I'm excited about camping, as I couldn't get to sleep, right? And so it'll be good. I think we're going to enjoy that. But sometimes when we're thinking of summer and we're thinking of camping or traveling, you might be going to see friends somewhere else in the province, or perhaps you're traveling across the prairies doing some sightseeing, whatever it might be. It's a change of pace, which is refreshing. But sometimes, at least this is my own experience, and if you can identify with it, that's all right. But sometimes what can happen is that we draw back a little bit spiritually. We just kind of, you know, we're physically relaxing, but sometimes we go into a spiritual relaxed mode as well, right? And I think some of that has to do with, you know, when you have your routine, when you're at home and you get up at a certain time and you might make yourself coffee and you might sit and get into the Word and have some prayer. And when you're traveling, a lot of times, routine is out the window, right? You're in a strange place, sleeping in a strange bed, or, you know, everything changes, right? And so sometimes, maybe it's only me, but sometimes you're like 2 or 3 days are gone by and you're like, I need to get into the Word. I've been too busy throwing my fish hook in the water or something like that, right? And so I want to just share just for a few minutes with you guys how I believe you can have your best summer ever. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to get to have those times of relaxation, those times of just hanging out with friends and family and doing some of the things that you've been looking forward to. But I believe that how you're going to have and how I'm going to have our best summer ever is remembering to stay stirred up in the Lord, remembering that even when we're when we're in times of relaxation, that there are supernatural opportunities that are in front of us to minister the love of God and the power of God to people around us. Amen? And so I was really encouraged by what Brad and Bill had to share this morning, because, I knew that the Lord had given me something to share this morning, and you could tell that oftentimes when you're preparing it, and it's just easy. There's just a flow to it, and it just comes together, and you're like, thank you, Lord, I know that you're leading me and guiding me. And I'm going to be sharing some thoughts. I was reminded of this book this week, and I knew the Lord was saying, get out this book and read it again. Read some chapters in this book. It's a book by Brother Copeland called Stir Yourself Up. But it's just in line with what you guys share. So thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit and sharing those things with us. You know, sometimes what I talked about, when you make the decision to just relax, but then spiritually relax as well, you can get to a place where you find yourself running on empty. That's what happens, right? And I know for myself, when I'm running on empty, I just find that I don't have as much grace for, you know, the situations that I'm in. I don't have as much grace for people that are around me. I'm perhaps not walking as much in the love of God as I should be. And another thing that can happen when you're running on empty is when a situation comes to you. Let's say someone needs prayer. They're in a serious situation. If you've been running on fumes yourself spiritually, you find it hard to muster up something to give them, right? You find it hard, you know, if all your focus has been on something else, in that moment, you want to have a ready deposit, something ready to give into that situation. And if you've been running on empty, man, that can be tough to do in those times. And so we want to make sure we're not in a place where we're ever running on empty or running on fumes. We want to stay stirred up in the Lord even during the summer. I want to read some scriptures to you guys. These are from the book of 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy, we know, was a protege of the Apostle Paul. Paul was a father in the faith to Timothy. I don't know that Timothy was on vacation. Maybe they didn't even have vacations back then. I have no idea. But he needed some encouragement, right? And so Paul, in these verses, Paul says, I pray for you, Timothy, every day. And as Paul was praying for Timothy every day, the Holy Spirit obviously showed him some things about what Timothy was going through and moved on Paul's heart to write him a letter. And so we get to read that letter, and it's some encouraging things that Paul is sharing with Timothy. That's 2 Timothy, of course, chapter 1. verses 3 to 7. Those are the verses that we're going to read today. Verse 3 starts, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy. So we don't know what Timothy is going through, but Paul was mindful of his tears. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Paul that Timothy, as a minister of the gospel, was going through some tough times. Paul says, verse 5, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You know, when I think of those words, now obviously that's an English translation. Those words, stir up the gift, and some different translations use different examples with those words. But when I think of those words, stir up the gift of God that was in you when I laid my hands on you, one of the first things that comes to my mind, I guess, is stirring up ingredients in a bowl. My mom taught me, when I met Candace, I didn't know how to cook and bake a whole lot, but I knew how to make one thing, really, pizza. That was the only thing. And for whatever reason, in my early teens, I think it's because I love pizza so much, my mom said, well, I'm going to teach Cam how to make pizza. And so ever since, you know, that time, I could make my own pizza crust. And it's a lot of work, to be honest. And to be honest, you can go to the store and probably buy it for less money than you can if you're making your own pizza. But I remember when you're making a pizza, you throw all the ingredients first before you stir, right? I watch my daughters bake as well, too. And, you know, they don't put in one ingredient at a time and then stir it, and another ingredient at the time and stir it, and another ingredient. They wait and they put in all the ingredients and then they stir it up and they mix it all together. And that's the same way it is with pizza crust. And when I think those words, I really like that translation, that English translation, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Why is that encouraging? Because that ingredient, that gift of God, is in you already. Paul wouldn't be encouraging Timothy to stir it up, and he wouldn't be encouraging us to stir it up if there wasn't a deposit, if there wasn't a gift of God that was already inside of us. Amen? And so that's a faith builder. That's something that builds our confidence. And so Paul was reminding Timothy, stir up the gifts of God that are in you. Stir up those things that God's already placed in there. We have Jesus Christ. He's the anointed one, and we have his anointing inside of us. And that's what we need to stir up, right? I believe Bill read those verses. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, bring freedom to the captives. We have that same anointing that Jesus proclaimed in the book of Luke, chapter 4. We have that anointing inside of us as well. And so that's what we're called to stir up. John 1:14-16 says, the Word became flesh. Of course, the Word is Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. The fullness of the anointing that was on Jesus Christ, we've received of his fullness. It's inside of us. And so that was the gifts that Paul was encouraging Timothy to stir up. But then Paul gets more specific in verse 7. He talks about power and love and a sound mind. And so Paul first starts talking about faith and then power, love, and a sound mind. So we're going to look at those four things, those four gifts that God's put inside of us, and see how we can stir them up as well. Excuse me, I've been battling a frog in my throat all morning. So the first thing that Paul wanted to encourage Timothy to stir up was the real faith, that gift of real faith that was inside him. That 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it's in you also. So Paul mentioned that Timothy had faith in him, and it wasn't a fake faith. The King James uses the word feigned faith. What is that? It just means that he wasn't putting it on. It was real. It was genuine. It was the real kind of God faith. And that means it had to come from the Lord, right? Real faith comes from the Lord. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And the faith that God's given us is the same faith he used to create the world. The same We're called, the only reason that God expects us and God's called us to live by faith, because that's how He lives. That's how He created the world, and that's how He builds the body of Christ. That's how Jesus was able to come and give His life for us as a sacrifice for many. It was because of the faith He had God's faith, and we're called to have that faith as well. Paul had that same faith. Galatians 2:20 says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And so God loved us by faith. He gave Himself for us by faith. And now we're called, just like Paul, to live by faith. And of course, Paul pointed out, Timothy, you don't just have it, but it's in your family. It's in your blood. It's in your DNA. Your mom had it and your grandmother had it. And so you have a spiritual heritage of faith. And so he's encouraging Timothy of that. Paul was telling Timothy, I'm convinced you have that faith. So maybe Timothy was questioning a little bit and wasn't sure about that deposit of faith that God had given him. And Paul was saying, it's there. I know it's there. I'm absolutely convinced it's there. You need to stir it up and you need to start operating in that faith. So what was that? What would Timothy have to do to stir up his faith? He had to remember to activate, and he had to make the choice to activate that anointing that was in him, that anointing of Jesus Christ, the anointed one that was inside of him, that had given him anointing to do things in his own, not in his own strength, but to do things in the supernatural power of God. Timothy had to remember to rely on that. He had to remember to stir that up. Perhaps he was trying to do things in his own strength. And that's what often happens, again, when we forget the gift of faith that God gives us, and we're just tempted, or perhaps not even realizing it, we get in that place, we're just kind of letting down our guard and running on empty a little bit. What happens? We try to do things on our own strength, and we don't get results like the Lord expects us to have. But when we stir that faith up, when we stir that anointing up, then things happen, right? The Lord moves on our behalf. Why? Because it's Him that's doing the work, not us. Amen? That same verse in the New Living says, "Fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you." Again, thinking of camping, I'm hoping that there's some dry wood at the campsite we're going to, because I don't have a lot of firewood. But especially if your wood is not super, super dry, you know, you might have, let's say you have some great kindling and you have some little shavings that you've made, and you might have some paper, and if you're like my dad, you might even have a little bit of oil and diesel mixture that you throw on that fire. That's all fine and dandy, but you still better be paying attention, because you may have to fan those flames. You might have to spend some time blowing or fanning those flames to get that fire roaring hot to the point where you can actually do something with it, right? There's not much worse than like a little bit of a wet fire that just sputters, and you get a little curl of smoke every once in a while, and you're sitting there on the picnic table and your stomach's rumbling. You're thinking, man, I wish that fire, you know, looking at that fire and wishing it's going to burn hotter, nothing's going to happen, right? You have to get down there sometimes on your hands and knees. You have to get really low, and you got to blow and fan that thing into flames. And that's what we're called to do with that faith. That anointing of God, it's inside of us, but we got to stir that thing up. We got to fan it into flames. It's not, if you've come to Christ, it's not fake, it's not made up, it's genuine, it's the faith of God, it's the real thing. But again, you got to stir it up. The next thing that Paul talks about, it's stirring up the power of God in you. That verse in 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," so fear is not from the Lord, "but He's given us power and love and a sound mind." Those three things, Paul's saying, you've got the gift of faith, but you've got a whole arsenal. You have a whole bunch of spiritual tools, spiritual weapons that the Lord's given you to accomplish your task, to accomplish everything that the Lord's called you to do. And you got to stir those things up, Timothy. You got to use those things if you're going to do everything the Lord's called you to do. And so the same thing goes for us. Paul's saying, Timothy, stir up the power. That when we read those verses, we know that we're being called to stir up the power of God that's in us as well. God's given us the gift of His power, but we need to believe it. And then we need to stop doubting that it's effective, that it's powerful, that it can do much for the kingdom of God, and then just start stepping out in faith and activating it, seeing what the Lord will do through us, right? I'm going to read you just a little story from this book, and it's a story of Brother Copeland. Of course, this year, I believe, Is it 50 years in ministry that Brother Kenneth and Gloria are just celebrating? 50 years of just being faithful to the call of God in their lives and to preach the gospel. The story that I'm going to read for you is before those 50 years. So this is, Brother Copeland doesn't have his own ministry. At the time, he was actually working for Brother Roberts, Brother Oral Roberts. And so this is not the Kenneth Copeland of Kenneth Copeland Ministries that's holding massive crusades and preaching to 1,000 people, but this is something much earlier in Brother Copeland's life when he was at a place where he needed to stir up the gift of God that was in him. So Brother Copeland says, I saw the power of God firsthand when I was a student at Oral Roberts University. I watched Oral Roberts use his faith like a mechanic uses a tool. He used it on purpose, he directed it, and though it stirred me, at first I didn't know that that same power that I watched him operate in to heal the sick and to set captives free was available to me and already in me. In fact, the first time I went with the Oral Roberts ministry team to a healing meeting, I nearly quit and went home. I was a student and member of his aircraft flight crew. I had been born again for less than 5 years, and I knew very little about the things of God, and even less like meetings like this. But I was eager to learn how to minister in the power of God. After we landed on my first ministry flight, I didn't have any other assignment, so he was just a pilot, and I followed the team inside the huge auditorium. It turned out that meeting place was filled with sick people wanting to get prayed for, and they weren't just a little bit sick either. That place was so full of disease, and the smell so foul, it turned my stomach. Just walking into the place sent chills of fear up my spine. I didn't know what to do with it or how to handle it. So just as quickly as I walked in, I turned on my heel and headed for the side door, talking to God under my breath. Listen, I don't belong here, I told him. This isn't for me. I'm through with this. You can do what you want with that airplane, and you can do what you want with Oral Roberts, but I'm in the wrong place. I'm headed back to Tulsa. I don't care what I have to do to get there. Anything is better than this. At that point in time, I had never even prayed for anyone. I'd never even seen anyone prayed for, especially anything that an aspirin couldn't fix. I had no idea what to do with what I was seeing and feeling. All I wanted to do was take the first bus out of there and let them figure out how to get the airplane home. After two steps outside the door, I started talking out loud to God. I said, I'm through. You understand that? Suddenly I froze. My feet wouldn't move. It was like my shoes were fastened to the sidewalk. Inside, I was still on the way to the bus station. Outside, I was stuck to the concrete. It was obvious who had stopped me. Let me loose, I cried. A war was raging within me. A fear like nothing I had ever experienced was driving me to run, yet a strange pull from God was drawing me back to what was going on inside the auditorium. Let me go, I insisted. I don't have anything to give anyone in there. I don't have anything for those people. Then God spoke to me. Whether human ears could hear it, I don't know, but every cell in my body heard his voice. I know you don't have anything to give them, but I do. And that's why I baptized you in my spirit. When he finished speaking, my feet were freed, and I knew the choice was mine. I could go ahead and catch the bus back to Tulsa, or I could turn around and go back into that meeting. By that time, it was clear to me that my real choice was between spiritual life and spiritual death, and there was no doubt which one I wanted. Suddenly, I didn't want to get back on that bus. I couldn't wait to get back in that room. When I stepped back inside, I still didn't know what to do, and I said to God, what do I do now? I heard the Lord say, nothing. Just watch and pray and do what I tell you to do. Do what the men over there tell you to do. Do what Brother Roberts tells you to do, and watch him. That night, something stirred on the inside of me, something that didn't want to run or back out anymore. It was a beginning for me. Until that night, I didn't know that the healing faith was in me. I was ready to run, but God stopped me. He knew what was in me, and if I would just stay and recognize the faith and power that was already resident within me and stir them up, miracles would happen. Isn't that what you shared? That's so encouraging, because that's, you know, it's almost a very close paraphrase to what Brad shared this morning, that the healing power of God is within us. And if we just make the choice to rise out in faith and say, Lord, your word says it's here, and so I take you at your word and I believe it. And even if I don't know what to do, I'm just going to be quiet and listen to your Holy Spirit, or I'm going to watch other people that have anointing to do the same thing, and I'm just going to move out in faith and believe you for the results. There's no pressure in that. There really isn't. If we're just being obedient, it's not our anointing. We're not the healer, right? It's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us. And so we don't have to feel any pressure in that. The only thing we have to do is just have a little bit of courage, just a little bit of gumption to go ahead and move out of our comfort zone and start just being obedient to some of those things. And you know, the Holy Spirit is so gracious because he might ask you to do something just not even that intimidating, just something small. It'll build your faith. But as the more obedient we are, the more our confidence increases in the Holy Spirit's leading and the bigger things he'll put in front of us, because he's got big things for all of us to do, right? Amen.
Yeah.
So that's stirring up the power of God inside us. The next thing that Paul mentioned to Timothy was stir up the love of God in you. Again, that verse is, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So God had not only given Timothy faith and power, but the gift of love. And Paul wanted Timothy to know that gift of love was inside him. It's the God kind of faith that doesn't draw back, and it's real. It was the God kind of love. Well, what is the God kind of love? God kind of love is unconditional. It's unselfish, right? It's ready to love at a moment's notice. You know, medical science, I don't have any specific studies, but it's common medical knowledge that people need love. That if you're going to live a healthy, successful life, if you're going to be emotionally stable, if you're just going to be a well-centered human being, that you need the love and the value and appreciation and physical affection, not just from your dog Ruger, but you need it from human beings. You need it from people around you, right? That's why God says he sets the lonely in families. Why does God set the lonely in families? Because the love of your cat, the love of your dog is not enough. You need the love of your family, and your family needs your love, and they need your affection, right? We might be in a place where we feel like we don't have a whole lot of that love to give. You know, I've been there at times, and that's usually, again, when I let myself run on fumes, when I let myself get a little bit empty, then I start to fail. I start failing to recognize that I have the love of God inside of me. I do have something to give. So whether it's spouses, children, family, friends, co-workers, all those people that we come in contact with on a daily basis, God's given them to us because they need to know our love. They need to know the love of God that's put the place inside of us, and they need to feel it, right? It's not enough to talk about it. They need to feel it. So I just encourage you, stir up the love of God that's inside you. Don't wait till you feel like it. That love that Paul was talking about in those verses, that's agape love. What is agape love? Agape love, it's a promise to love, and it's a choice to love that's not conditional on the response, right? Agape love says, I'm going to love you no matter how I feel, and no matter how you might respond, when I'm loving you, I'm going to do it anyway because I feel that God's calling me to do it, and it's the love of God that's in me. That's agape love. That's the real God kind of love. And that's the kind of love that was in Jesus, right? We know that there was a war inside Jesus because he was fully human, and he had to draw on that agape love to follow through with God's plan to go to the cross, right? When he was in the garden and he's asking the disciples to pray with him, man, there was a battle waging right there. What caused him to pull through in that moment? He had to extend his faith and say, Lord, you've given me agape love, to love unconditionally, to love regardless of the response. Because you know what? There's people who reject God's love. Isn't that right? There's people, honestly, they reject, as great as that sacrifice was, that he went to hell to pay the penalty for your and my sins. There's people that still reject that love. Well, agape love says, regardless of the response that I get back, I'm going to choose to do this because it's God's plan for me, and the real God kind of love is inside of me. So we do have agape love inside of us. That means we can love others when we don't feel like it, but we have to stir it up, and we have to activate it by faith. You can love by faith. That's just trusting in God's ability to give you the strength to love people and then making the choice to do it, saying, you know what, today I'm going to show love in this situation. I'm going to show love to this person, and then watch God move through you when you make that choice to see victory in that situation. The last thing that Paul talked about in those verses, so power, God given Timothy power, a love, and a sound mind. So we're going to talk just a little bit about a sound mind. We can't stir up the power of God. We can't stir up the love of God in our lives if we're feeding our minds the wrong things. Having a sound mind, having the God kind of thinking is so critical in our lives. If you want to shut up the devil, if the devil's trying to feed you some lies, if he's putting some thoughts into your head, if you want to put him in his place, you have to start thinking God kind of thoughts. You have to start thinking about yourself the way the Lord thinks about you and see yourself the way God thinks about you. You can't think the devil's thoughts and think that you're going to have power to somehow get rid of that thinking and change the way you're thinking. Of course, we know that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways, right? Isaiah tells us that. But if we're going to think the right way about those situations in life, we need to be thinking the way God thinks about us. Those thoughts are higher than our thoughts and those ways are higher than our ways. But we have to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the way God thinks. And you know what? The beautiful thing is we have this book right here. This book is absolutely chock full of the way God thinks, the way he feels about you, the way he feels about me. And so when we choose to feed on this versus feed on the stuff that the world has for us, more and more our thoughts become like God's thoughts. Our ways become like God's ways because that's how we're feeding ourselves. We're feeding ourselves on the Word of God and we're able to match his thinking more and more. Why is it that we can't do that? Though oftentimes the things that hold us back from matching our thinking to God's thinking, it's just a lack of knowledge, right? There's a scripture in Hosea says, Proverbs 28:18, I'm getting ahead of myself. Proverbs 29:18 says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. This is the New Living. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. When people aren't aware of God's guidance, they run wild. What does that mean? Well, they don't have a knowledge of God. They don't know what God has to say about that situation. And so they're just relying on their own intellect. They're just relying on their own reasoning at that point. And they make choices that are not good. Choices that just cause us to run wild and honestly makes us head toward destruction. You know, a lot of us have the habit, and you know, I've been here myself as well, is that we get deep into a situation that's going a little bit sideways before we ever look to wisdom or insight from the Lord. We've talked about this before, right? But this is a common human condition. And so if you've ever done this, I've done it. But oftentimes we get deep into a situation and things are going a little bit bad, and they're like, man, I gotta get some wisdom from the Lord. Well, how about if we had just got the wisdom from the Lord before we were in that situation, we were daily in his presence, daily stirring ourselves up and feeding ourselves in God's word. You know what? We may have avoided that situation entirely. We may not even have found ourselves in that situation in the first place. So better to have been praying and believing God before we ever get into that problem. What we need is the mind of Christ. I'm going to move ahead here because we got the lake is calling. You know, the Word of God, it really is wisdom for every situation. There's no difficulty, there's no problem, there's no situation in your life that you're facing that the answer isn't there in the Word of God. Do you know that? And it's just so key, you got to stir up that sound thinking. You have to get in the Word of God and stir up. You know, we heard those scriptures. Rick shared two scriptures with Brother Ray and Rose that were basically talking about the Lord's guidance and the Lord's leading in our lives, right? We have to know what the Lord has to say, and we have to be listening to the Holy Spirit if we're going to make the right choices, right? And we know Ray and Rose are going to do that. We got a word from the Lord that there's going to be greater boldness, and he's got a great plan for them. But they have to be obedient to those things that the Lord shows them, right? And that's how they're going to get to that place. That's how they're going to achieve and fulfill everything that God's called them to do. So the devil knows that we have to be obedient to the Lord. And so, of course, he's going to try and do everything he can to control our minds, to get us thinking differently than the Lord would have us think. He wants to, you know, feed negative thoughts. He wants to give us some subtle lies that we might start believing. And when we do that, what happens? Well, after wrong thinking comes wrong actions, right? If we're thinking the wrong way, if we don't have a sound mind, if we don't have the mind of Christ, what happens is we start to run wild again. We just start to make some decisions in life that are not life-giving choices, and they move us into a place that's not where we wanted to be at all. But it's our choices that have brought us there. So what can we do against that? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity the obedience of Christ. We know from that verse that we have that power, again, inside of us. There's that deposit inside of us. We have the strength to cast down every thought that doesn't line up with God's word. So the next time you're tempted to say, oh, I just can't stop thinking this way. These thoughts are coming and I just can't. Yes, you can. Stop saying you can't, because you can. The power of God is inside you to stop thinking that way. But you can't be feeding yourself on Netflix or television and expect to have the power of God to stop that, right? You have to have sound thinking, and the mind of Christ that comes by feeding on God's word. And when you stir yourself up, you absolutely have the power to cast down those thoughts and not that think that way and have a sound mind and have thinking that lines up with the word of God. Amen. So we're called not to have our mind control us, but we're called to control our thinking and to have a sound mind. This is a great set of verses. Philippians 4, 8, 9 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." So God's calling us to think on what things? Things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are of good report. So if there's some thinking that's come into your mind and it doesn't line up with those verses, it's not pure, it's not just, it's not lovely, it's not from God, you know that's thinking you can reject. It's not thinking that lines up with God's word. So cast down those thoughts and then ask the Holy Spirit to give you thoughts to replace them. That's how you get a sound mind. That's how you get sound thinking. And I like verse 9. It says, "The things which you have learned and received." There's a deposit, again, inside of us that gives us the strength to have sound thinking in every situation, to have thinking that lines up with the Word of God. But we need knowledge of the Word of God. Without vision, the Bible says, my people perish. Well, we need that vision from the Lord. We need that instruction, that education from God's Word. And we have to be listening to the Holy Spirit, again, to have the power to cast down those thoughts that don't line themselves up with God's Word. So what are you spending your time listening and watching and thinking? During the summer, again, it's a time of relaxation. But don't draw back from God's Word. Stir yourselves up. You can be at the lake, but bring God's Word. Or bring some teaching tapes. Or spend time with your wife or your husband or your family or your friends. Don't just talk about everyday things, but make sure that you're building each other up spiritually and encouraging each other in the Lord as well. That is how you and I are going to have our best summer ever, right? You know, sometimes what happens is that churches go through the summer season, and I've seen this happen, and we come back together again, say at the end of August, and some of us have been to the lake, or some of us have been traveling, and it's like, man, it's like starting from square one again. Everyone has to like pull themselves up spiritually and like get back on fire for the things of the Lord. Let's not do that. We can take the summer months and stir ourselves up. When we extend our faith and choose to walk in faith and love and power and have a sound mind, you know what? I believe that the Lord can do some mighty things just in our everyday lives, in our ministry over this summer, whether it's at the lake or in Winnipeg or whatever we're doing, that we'll have some awesome testimonies when we come together again in September, right? By all means, if it happens during the summer, we want to hear about it. Give us your testimonies. But I think that there's just awesome things that the Lord has for us that He wants to do if we're willing to recognize, Lord, Your power, Your love, a sound mind, that's in me, and I have the gift of Your faith. And so I'm going to be obedient to the things this summer that You've called me to do. I'm not just going to, you know, take my spiritual eyes off and just relax and chill out and not even think about the Bible or God's Word or some of the supernatural assignments that You have for me, but I'm going to listen to Your Holy Spirit. I'm going to have fun, but I'm going to have lots of fun with some of those supernatural assignments and those things that You've given me. If we do that, we're going to have a great summer. It'll be our best summer ever. Amen? Yeah. That's all I had to share today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, Lord. We thank You that You're so faithful to confirm Your Word, Lord. And so we thank You that You're speaking to us as a body, Lord, that You have some special things in front of each of us this summer, Lord. You have some hurting people that You want us to meet. You have some hurting situations that You want us to walk into, Lord. And You want to have us with something to give. You want to have us be fully aware that there's some power and there's some love and there's some sound thinking that You want us to inject and place into that situation by Your anointing, Lord. And so I declare that we are a people who won't draw back, Lord, in this time and over these next couple months, Lord, that we'll be faithful to come to church when we're in town, Lord. We'll be faithful to encourage each other. We'll be in each other's homes, Lord, ministering to each other and encouraging each other, Lord. But every place that we find ourselves, whether it's at work or we're taking a trip or we're on vacation or whatever it is, that we're doing, Lord. We purpose together as a people that we're going to listen to your Holy Spirit. We're going to have our eyes open. Who is camping beside us? Who are we having a conversation with? We're going to be reading between the lines, and we're just going to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, and we're going to capitalize on those opportunities that you have for us to show your love and your power. And I declare that we're going to have powerful testimonies of how you've used us when we're not operating by our strength and our power, but when we're surrendered to those gifts, those deposits that are already inside of us. Lord, I declare great testimonies of your faithfulness as we walk in obedience to everything that you've given us, Lord. We declare it to be now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for this church, Lord. Lord, I declare that this week coming up, Lord, just a great week of your power, your anointing, and your favor as we go forth into the world and be representatives of your love and your power, your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. As always, there's opportunity to receive prayer. And so if you want us to stand with you in prayer, just welcome you up. There'll be someone here that'll pray with you. Take time to bless each other, encourage each other. There's coffee on in the back room, just through the foyer. If you go through the double doors, there's some coffee there, and just encourage you to spend some time and visit with some folks. If I haven't met you, I want to meet you, so come introduce yourself to me, and we'll bless each other, encourage each other. Amen.